It is a Whiskey Wednesday, and it doesn't get much better than that right there. Shannon Lawson and Rainy Day Whiskey, a gentleman who has played at the Room numerous times. Big Red with you. It is 8:34, and speaking of a guy who's, I think it's like, if you think about Vegas, you think about residencies. That's what this man has at the Room. I'm talking about our friend Dan Olson. How are you, buddy?
I'm doing great. How you doing, brother? It's good to see you.
It's good to see you. Man, last I knew you were going to come up here like Santa Claus in a sleigh with dogs and all kinds of stuff and decided to postpone it till better weather, and you got it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's raining, but I mean...
Yeah. No, it was, I mean, what was it, 2 weeks ago?
Yeah.
And I was all packed up, ready to go, and then Pogo called me, and I just, thank God I didn't, because back home, we got hammered with snow.
Yeah.
Most snow we've had... all winter. So, no, it was a perfect drive out here now. So, yeah. Happy to be here.
Yeah. Hey, and you brought me my Dolly picture. Thank you so much, man.
I did. Yes. It's, I forgot it the last four times. So, yeah. I made sure to set it right next to my piano.
Yeah.
So, I got it. So, hang it with pride.
Yeah.
It's all for you.
And we're going to put it up here in the studio. That is beautiful,
man.
Thank you so much. And now I heard you're like the new Phil Knight. You're making you're making Nikes.
Well, your
own version of Nikes.
Right, exactly.
The Iowa version of Nikes.
Yeah. No, I try to constantly be learning new stuff. And one night I was watching Instagram and I saw some guy making custom Jordans. And I was like, I bet I could do that. Even though I don't know how to sew, I don't know how to cut leather.
Yeah.
And sure enough, after about like 10 hours of YouTube, I made my first pair. I got another pair coming. So,
isn't YouTube a wonderful thing? Seriously.
I learned so much. I learned everything that I know off of YouTube.
Yeah. Yeah, that's cool. And now we were talking earlier this morning. I played a cut off the critically acclaimed.
Critically.
Yes. Because Pogo, you're kind of a critic, right, buddy?
He thinks so.
What?
You're kind of a critic, and you love that album, Live at Boxcar. So it is critically acclaimed.
That's right.
That's how that works.
He's not the typical critic I would like, but
okay,
he does like almost everything.
Yeah.
Sorry, Pogo, sorry to put you on the spot here, buddy. No, that's it turned out really well. I've got so many nice messages about the album, so it was, and it was such a special, amazing night. Oh my gosh, it was so cool.
It was so great when I got it, when I first got a copy of it, and I listened to it, and I could hear everybody just singing your songs back.
It's the reason that I got into music, was the whole idea that you could write something and then people will sing those words back with their own meaning for whatever it means to them. But when I finally, I was just in it that night. I didn't realize until I listened to it back. I'm like, oh my God, all these people know all the words to all the songs. It was beautiful. So amazing.
I know I've talked to other artists who played over at the Room and they said it is unbelievable because everybody's so silent.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, you break into a song that they all know, and they sing it back to you.
Oh,
and it's just like, it takes you to like, should I just play the guitar and let them
exactly
sing it?
Exactly.
It makes
my job easier. I'm letting half the work. All right, guys, this one's in B. Watch me for the changes. Here we go.
Yeah. So what have you been up to since I know you're making shoes? Are you writing another book? I mean, you were the busiest guy I know.
Well, I got a wild mind, so I try to stay busy constantly. But no, I got probably about 7 songs I'm going to try to release here in the next 2 months. I'm going to play quite a few of them tonight.
Okay.
Along with all the other old stuff that people know. But been writing a lot and then just, taking time to just enjoy life. You know, it's you go so hard for so long of like, you know, touring and writing, and then, you know, you kind of take a step back. And I've just been like just so happy. Like life's been so great just hanging out and learning more about myself and learning new things. And I think that the music gets better that way too. So.
Oh yeah, exactly. Now, one of the songs with it you play, we started playing before we even knew you, was Untitled 2, and it's become a staple of your shows here in Clinton. Now, the version that's on the Live at Boxcars is with you with the piano, which is a different version than most people have heard.
Right.
I got to ask you, how do you prefer to perform it? With the guitar, or do you get more of a feeling when you're playing it on the piano?
The piano, for sure.
Yeah.
I mean, like, I would much rather play. I'm a way better piano player than I am a guitar player, but I would much rather be, like, most of the songs are written on the piano.
Yeah.
So I think that, except for that song was written on the guitar, but I just think that it comes through more, you know, emotional through the piano. It's more of an emotional instrument to me. So I'll be playing that tonight as well on the piano. And you'll hear a couple songs that, like, I'm going to do, I wrote Granite Stone with Jeremy. I'm going to do that version on the piano tonight, which will be, I really enjoy that version of it. So No, anytime I can get the keys out and play it at a show, it's awesome. So I'm super excited.
I know another tune that you wrote with Jeremy that I really like, the version that you do of it, a little broodier, a little darker, is 13 Steps.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we'll be playing that tonight. That one's on the guitar tonight. But no, it's crazy. You know, me and Jeremy have been such close friends for such a long time. And it just, you know, the songs that we've written together just came so naturally, like 13 Steps and, you know, Withdrawals and... Mm-hmm. Obviously Granite Stone, and they're just fun to play. Like, it's just with anything, like he has his version of it and those are the songs he released, and I love everything that he's put out, and then I just kind of do it like my obviously all my versions are so much sadder and darker, so I just kind of like to give my version of the same song that we wrote together.
Now congratulations on the British CMA. That's huge.
It was awesome.
Yeah.
It was so cool. Like, for the country, for the whole UK to, like, embrace me and Jeremy in that way. And to see that the nominations come out, and I was, like, reading them, like, oh, yeah, Post Malone, Morgan Wallen, Chris Stapleton, Riley Green, Ella Langley, and I saw Jeremy McComb, and I'm like, oh, my God. I text him, like, dude, we got nominated for his British CMA. That's crazy. And, no, it was I always thought it was so cheesy to say, but it's just an honor to be nominated. But something like that, especially me and Jeremy, because we're two like independent, fiercely independent guys. No like label, nothing, no promo stuff.
Yeah.
And to be in that same category with these people who have the giant machine behind them spending millions on promotion. And it was just really cool to see like, hey, you know, you can still do this without all the big label and stuff like that.
Exactly. Now, I got to ask you a question. Your relationship with Jeremy, I know you guys are like brothers, you're best friends, but you guys can be best friends and brothers and still not be good song collaborators as writers, right?
Right, yeah.
What makes a good song collaborating duo? I mean, what makes it easy for you to sit down with somebody and write? Is it being liking the same things or same mindset? Or I mean, what goes into that, Dan?
I think it's all based on just trust. Like, you know, especially when you're writing stuff that's super personal to you, you want to be in a room with someone that you can trust and be vulnerable around. So sometimes when I write with other people, I don't have that deep connection that, you know, like that I've had with Jeremy or Huck or someone like that I've been best friends with forever. So you really got to trust the person because, you know, you're saying stuff about like your own personal heartbreak or tragedy, and you know, being a man, most men have a tough time being emotional. Mm-hmm. So to be in a room with someone you have no idea and you're talking about, like, you know, your ex-girlfriend or whatever, it's really hard to come to something great. But me and Jeremy, it's just like, I trust him with my life and he trusts me with his life. And, you know, like, it's just, it's so easy to write with him. I mean, when we were over in Sweden, hopefully he's going to put some of these songs out. I mean, we wrote, you know, half of his last album and then quite a few more that I hope finally get to see the light of day. Like Granite Stone, we wrote that, I think, in 2020. Yeah, so it took 4 years for it to ever come out. So there's a lot of songs that we have that I hope do see the light of day. And I might put a couple out, and I hope that he does too. But it's just always a pleasure. Same thing with Huck. Is like it's so easy to just write with people that you love and trust, you know. That's the biggest part.
Yeah. We're talking with Dan Olson, who's going to be performing tonight in the room at Boxcars Pub and Grub, 7:30 show. Our Iron Country family member, our buddy Rollin's going to be opening that show, Rollin Bell. And then Dan coming on in. Hey, my question is, you got a bunch of new songs coming out. Mm-hmm. Are there any happy ones? Mid-tempo?
Yeah. Well, yeah. Oh, tempo-wise, yes. I have some faster stuff. But I don't know.
I love it, man. I love what you write because it rips your heart out.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's because my thing, I'm a lyric guy.
Yeah.
And I want somebody to just grab me by the throat and say, this is the story. And you do that with a lot of your stuff, man. And that's what I really dig about a lot of the stuff you do. And, you know, and I know Pogo busts your balls about, can you write something happy? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, last time we had you on the air, when you called in a couple of weeks ago, you said now that you're sewing, did you make him the jumpsuit?
No, I couldn't do it. He wanted the back end cut out of it, and I just didn't want it.
Still that way.
Yeah,
huh?
He's still that way.
Okay.
Well, about like the writing the stuff is like, I think it's easy to write happy songs, but I think that, you know, it's an easy way to a therapy session to get all this stuff out. And then to hear people after shows be like, oh my God, I went through that with my ex-husband. And like the stories you get from it, I mean, it's a beautiful thing.
Yeah,
honestly,
it really is. Now, a song we took off the critically acclaimed Live at Boxcars was a song that the night you played it, I turned and I looked at my buddy Jimmy and I went, I'm going to play that on the radio when it's available.
Nice.
And that is Springsteen and Straight.
Yeah,
and it's almost every person's relationship.
Oh yeah,
you know.
Oh, trust me. So one of my best friends, Dave Poole. We write a lot of songs together, and I mean, we wrote "Cold" together, which did really well. And he sent me this verse one night, or the chorus of that song was just like the first couple lines, and I was like, "That's a really good idea." And then worked on it and got it finished, and it kind of tells the story of pretty much any relationship, you know, especially when you know it's going to end. Like, you know, there's no way of saving it. So you kind of just like, all right, let's have one last night and like, let's split everything up. But you get so attached to these songs because they have such memories with that person. And it's like, you're not only splitting up, you know, your couch and dishes and stuff, but it's like, I'll never be able to hear this song the same way again. Like, you know, so you get to have these songs and I get to have these songs. And it's kind of like a whole metaphor for, you know, just having a clean break, but you know, you'll always remember that person.
Yeah, and it is a great song, and we've played it a few times here on Iron Country, and it's called Springsteen Straight. And you said you might play that one for us this morning?
I'd love to play it.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, Dan Olson on Iron Country.
Let me get set up. Shout out Dave Poole. I hope you're listening, buddy. Our love was hotter than Dallas in June. I looked in your eyes, I fell into you. We just hold each other and we would sing. So pour us some glasses of cheap red wine. Stare at the stars and curse at the night, 'cause we both know what tomorrow brings. Cause they don't make 'em like that anymore. We'll split up these records right here on this living room floor. Well, you take the Janis, baby, I'll take the Jones. You got the Beatles, baby, give me the Stones. No more dancing in the kitchen at 2 a.m. Take the cars and I'll take the doors. You got the Dylan, he ain't singing no more like he did on our first day. So you keep the Springsteen and I'll take the Straight. We both knew this would come someday, so we stoked that fire, putting Hades to shame. I'd rather be tossed than never ride at all. We'll split up these records that painted our lives, note by note, from beginning to demise. When I hear them, well, I'll think of you. Cause they don't make them like that anymore. We'll split up
these records right here on this living room floor. Well, you take the Janis, baby, I'll take the Jones. You got the Beatles, baby, give me the Stones. No more dancing in the kitchen at 2 a.m. You take the cars and I'll take the doors. You got the Dylan, he ain't singing no more like he did on our first day. So you take the Springsteen and I'll take the Strain. They don't make them like you anymore. So let's say goodbye right here on this living room floor. Well, you take the Janis, baby, I'll take the Jones. You got the Beatles, baby, give me the Stones. No more dancing in the kitchen at 2 a.m. Well, you take the cars and I'll take the doors. You got the Dylan, he ain't singing no more like he did on our first day. Take the Springsteen and I'll take the Strain.
Man, I love that song.
Thanks, man.
Seriously, you just think about that, and that is like every ending of every relationship of
It's cool. I really enjoy this song. I'm glad that, and that's so funny about you guys up here. You're the perfect tastemakers. It's like I never played Untitled and people love it up here. And like,
yeah.
I've never played that song for anybody except for that night. Like, I've never played it live. So to hear people enjoy it and embrace it, it's super cool. So big shout out to my buddy Dave for the idea of this song and stuff. So, no, I appreciate it, brother.
I do. I appreciate that, and I appreciate you coming up here. And we're going to see you later in the year, too, though, but tonight is the room is so... Man, yeah. I
was telling some friends back home, because we had a show that got canceled a couple weeks ago back home, and I was like, if this is the show that if you can make it, if you can drive the 6 hours out here, it's the show to be at. Like, there's nothing like playing in the room. There's literally nothing like it in the whole world, like playing in the room at Pogo's place. It's the most beautiful experience, and tonight it's not going to be any different, man. It's going to be I brought the piano along, so we'll have some keys, some guitar, some stories. You're going to cry, you're going to laugh, got some funny stuff, and you know, Roland will be out there opening the show. Big shout out to Roland. I can't wait to see you tonight, brother. And no, it's going to be super cool. But again, we'll hopefully be back here sometime in the summer. I know White Lightning and my mom want to come out here. They said
your parents are the best, man.
My dad texted me this morning, said tell Red that White Lightning says hello.
Yeah.
And no, my parent, I won the lottery with my mom and dad. Yeah. They're the most awesome people, and they love this community. Has embraced them like they're citizens of Clinton.
I mean, yeah.
Everybody knows their name. They come and say hi. You know, it's a beautiful, I can't say enough how beautiful this whole community is up here. It's so wonderful. The people are so amazing. So, yeah, so we'll hopefully be back in the summer, but come out tonight. It's going to be fun.
It's going to be fun. I don't miss this. Show starts 7:30, and get on out. Go to have dinner at Boxcars, and make sure you tell Pogo you heard about us this morning.
Exactly,
we'd love to hear that. We'll get Tyler in here in a couple minutes. I want to play a cut from the last time you were in the studio.
Uh-oh.
This is Dan's version of 13 Steps on Iron Country.
Methamphetamines running through my bloodstream. Swore it was the last time I was gonna stay clean. I fell off the wagon and straight into hell. Last 10 minutes that's led me in this cell. 13 steps, the way to the hanging rope. Death rows got holes drilled in the door. 12 for the jury and it's one for the judge. That's what the knots in the noose are for. Truck in the driveway, dick giveaway. I should've kept driving, should've got away. A no good woman just doing me wrong. Sent them both where she belongs. Now it's 13 steps, the way to the hanging rope. Death row's got holes drilled in the door. 12 for the jury and it's one for the judge. That's what the knots in the noose are for. But sometimes they let me out in the sunshine. For a second I don't mind the life that I'm doing. These granite walls just to keep on moving in. Minding me just where I'm headed. Right back there again. He was laying right beside her when I kicked the door open. And two shots left him laying in the bed. But I used my hands to kill a no good woman. I hear a man come, guess it's my turn next. He's singing 13 steps, the way to the hanging rope. Death row's got holes drilled in the door. 12 for the jury and it's one for the judge. That's what the knots in the noose are. 13 steps on the way to the hanging rope. 13 steps on the way to the hanging rope. 13 steps on the way to the hanging rope. Death row's got holes drilled in the door. I'm swinging for the jury and I'm hanging for the judge. That's what the knots in the noose are for.
If you show up at Boxcars tonight, you'll hear that live in the room. Dan Olson in 13 Steps. Tyler joining me in the studio right now. It's always good to have some actual talent in this studio on a morning show.
Multifaceted, yeah. As well, the painter, Dan Olson.
And he's a shoemaker, a painter, an author.
A shoemaker?
Yeah.
I know he's a fan of Crocs. Dude, that's all that I care about.
He's making shoes now. He's like,
you make shoes?
He's like the Phil Knight of Nebraska, yeah.
He's a cobbler.
He's like Pinocchio's dad.
Really cobbling or just like designing and painting like
seriously.
Sneakers?
He makes
a
shoes.
They end up looking like that?
Man.
I really
want to make a how high do you get during the day joke when you're waiting around for your shows, you know?
Parents are still listening?
Yeah, yeah.
So not at all.
Yeah, his parents listen to this show and we want to
just,
say hi to them.
You know, Adderall and caffeine, you know, stuff like that.
Yeah, he's sewing shoes now and making his own shoes.
Really? Holy
cow.
You
know, if you had a mold, you'd probably make Crocs.
Those are the Jordan 1s I made.
Yeah.
Damn, those are pretty sick.
And then these are the, oh.
I got
wow.
It.
Yeah, sewing designs into sneakers and everything?
That's nice.
Travis Scott's I'm making.
Hey, can you make the Pogo
Holy
model?
Cow. Very
could
nice.
Could you make a Pogo model?
What, the size 2s?
Yeah. Really short, kind of full up like Vans.
Now that he's sewing, I tried to get you a new jumpsuit.
Yeah.
But he said he won't, because of your request, he won't do it.
Size 2 shoes, that would be great.